We are Sunday, July 19th at 8:05 a.m. Hawaii time. It's recording number 92, Carolyn with JW and Ion.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. JW could only tell me about his brunch, so I figured we better start talking with Ion and see if we can...
he did a great deal of clearing. Very good, because he was starting to empathically pick up. You see, if you get the bliss of it, then you also get the sometimes sadness or disconnection.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very good just to clear it all away.
Mm.
Oh, joy. Clear it all away.
Yeah. So is that why he woke up famished?
Delayed. Just delicious.
Okay, good. Good. So yesterday, I know there's no time for you, but yesterday we did go into how an overview of the Medicine with Ion book.
Yeah, prolapse, that's right.
The prolapse, right.
That's what JW called it.
So do you have anything more to add to that? I thought
ask some questions from your place of what you got out of it, and then you can fill in the rift.
Fill in the rift. Oh, okay. Very good.
You strolled into that one, my love.
Yeah, so it was a nice place of understanding what a person's symptoms of what they consider disease are actually giving them an opportunity to work that out and see contrast and decide whether or not they want that.
Yeah, do you have a definition of symptoms?
Okay, let's look that up.
But it's interesting that you go at it that way.
Uh-huh. Webster definition of symptom is... from Greek, happening, attribute, to happen, to fall. So then the definition itself, subjective evidence of dis-ease or physical disturbance. Broadly, something that indicates the presence of bodily disorder, an evident reaction by a plant to a pathogen, or something that indicates the existence of something else.
The existence of something else.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's exactly correct. And that gives the best synoptic way to explain it. If you're dealing with the symptoms, you're dealing with something else. And that's this work.
Uh-huh.
If you deal with something else, then the symptoms are appeased. Not eradicated.
Uh-huh.
Because, see, you can eliminate even your pain threshold to the point you can cut your arm off and not notice.
Uh-huh.
So you're not trying to remove the contrast. You're trying to recognize it and adjust it quickly so it doesn't take hold and become systematically or symptomatically systemic.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah, I'm just catching up with you here. So, since symptoms are something that indicates the existence of something else...
Very good.
What we're saying is that you
that something else is the issue that you should be addressing rather than the symptom.
Nice.
See, this is a great way to lead this into a prospect of have folks to make it easier for the humans to embrace these potential, we would call them misconnections.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not always a disconnection. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want any.
No, I don't want any examples. So I think we're doing great so far. Although we, you know, into our minute mark. Okay. Great. Yeah.
And
that,
the next one on the list would be obsessive compulsive disorder, right?
Yeah. Dang. So yeah, this is great because it that type of definition, you know, wherever it comes from, if it tweaks people and it's like, oh, is that, oh, something else, then I'm dealing with the symptoms instead of the something else.
And that's why things seem sometimes to land, harbor, and grow.
Yeah, yeah. If you focus on the symptoms, then you give them weight and allow them to land, harbor, and grow. No?
Yes. But it's precisely. And what happens more often than not is you become embodied in the symptom rather than addressing falls. That happens sometimes with people, not even in medical conditions, where it's always someone else's fault.
Uh-huh.
It's never their own responsible position. It's always somebody else did it, or somebody else took advantage, or somebody didn't love me, or somebody lied to me, or cheated me, or hurt me, or took advantage of me. Not that you allowed it. Never know.
Because
see, that becomes that disconnection. Then they can sometimes use that as an excuse to exit their participation in with other co-creators. Wounded spirits, I guess is what you call it. And many times those that would be attracted to this type of work are overcoming those very dynamics many times. Otherwise, they're sitting in the neurosurgeon's office waiting on to figure out where they're going to cut next.
Well, yeah, and two things, like, why do people not realize that they are responsible for their lives? I mean,
because they have not come to the place of embracing their power. See, they're limited by what their career would do. They're limited to what their government allows them to do. They're limited to what their family allows them to do. They're limited to what And any reason will do if it allows them easily to blame another for their place of, we would almost say unhappiness, but that may be too strong a word. But if they're okay happy, but they're missing bliss, that can be a good reason to have bliss elude you. Very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, and then the other comment was, in medicine, all they do is focus on symptoms.
Correct.
So that creates the dynamic of people focusing on symptoms.
And then they go from that tier or level, and then they blame it on what's causing the symptoms. Now we'll straighten it out. Here you go. How many times have you seen this path? It's the hamburger that did it.
Right.
It's the red wine that did it. They said it was okay, and it's not. They said a little bit of fin wouldn't hurt. They said a little of amphetamine with balance. So now it's still not their fault or response. or creation. It's whoever they believed, thought they'd been thinking a long time, and accepted as their reality.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only judged by the culpable persuasiveness of the TV body that said that you can take this pill and mm-hmm. have sex again, take mm-hmm. this pill and dance like a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
This helps that, this helps this, this does that. And then the next thing you know, it turns around and becomes the new cause for their disconnection. And mm-hmm. that would be a disconnection.
And that would be a disconnection? What's that sentence mean?
Well, that would be a disconnection if you have a symptom and you doctor it with a pill, and then the pill turns up to bite you in the butt,
mm-hmm.
then that's a disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
You're disconnected from your source and bought into the source mm-hmm. of the murk.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
So it continues the expressed chain of
pain. Okie dokie. Yeah.
Those that have abuses in their adolescence, they use that as the excuse of why they're unbalanced in their mind.
We could say
screwed up, but that'd be too strong a word. But they use that as an excuse. Many that choose what you call aberrated lifestyles, they say it was from some abusive situation in their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so it's not their fault that they're now hermaphrodite. I don't know how you change that or how you...
mm-hmm.
You see, it's my parents' fault. It's always
someone's
fault.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Instead of coming into your own power, why can't you just be who you are and be happy with that?
Because
mm-hmm. if you can't make yourself happy, who else is supposed to be held responsible for your individual happiness?
Mm-hmm.
I can't feel happy because you think less of me. Well, no, it should be, I really don't care what you think of me, I'm going to be happy anyway. And if you can be with me and be happy, good. And if you can't, I understand. But
mm-hmm.
that's not going to impede my power of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting in your constitution that you're promised not happiness, but you're promised the pursuit of happiness. They don't guarantee you happy, but they guarantee the right to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
As an inalienable right.
Mm-hmm.
And they give it to you even in your constitution, and you ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Time and time again, because mm-hmm. it's Pfizer's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's my DNA. It's my genetics.
Mm-hmm.
It's my environment. It's my air. It's my insulation in my home.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they treated my carpet with. It's mm-hmm. those damned dust mites.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the radiation from those fluorescent bulbs that work.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Mm-hmm. And that now sort of makes it a whole new place. Of giving very tactile examples
mm-hmm.
of what people use time and time again
mm-hmm.
to line themselves up with the being run over by the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the graphic description, but
mm-hmm.
isn't that what sort of takes place?
Oh yeah, very much. Yeah, and I think you said it yesterday that if they take something and relax and allow at the same time, then they can shift, and they might blame the thing that they took for the shift, but it's really the relax and allow.
Absolutely. RNA, the RA factor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you use that in your drug studies, you'd have a way different outcome in your
right.
results.
Mm-hmm. Okay, definitely.
You may just set up the perfect trial.
I'm just finishing this sentence one time.
Yeah.
You can take a swig of water.
Yes, indeed. It's blessed water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or in Louisiana, they have holy water, but they call it beer.
Okay, so that, I mean, that pretty much says what we're wanting to say here. I mean, there can be more, but let's just look at how we started this, about the symptoms. So why does medicine just focus on symptoms?
Because they would have to acknowledge the power of the patient.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And their PhDs would lose all their flavor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would lose. My gosh. Okay.
Because we know better than you. You're the sickly one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they teach you? Isn't that the mean that they were trying to box, they were trying to put you in?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if someone came with too many symptoms, that was an immediate diagnosis of hypochondria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, what they want is symptoms, but then when people come with all the symptoms, then they put them down for that as well.
Well, and we're not pushing against the profession,
yeah.
But here's what actually takes place.
Okay.
They'll take a slightly disconnected expression, mm-hmm. and they will give attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
They will medicate it.
Mm-hmm.
They will fully develop it.
Mm-hmm.
They will educate the patient so they can know
mm-hmm.
the downfall and the dynamic of their palsy or disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
They give them all the tools to regulate it and keep track of their disconnection. They give them the warning signs of the tightness in the chest and the pain in the left arm and the lightheadedness. And if you have this gut-wrenching pain in your stomach, then that's pretty much the end. Then hurry to the ER and on and on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's as easy as turning over and sleeping on your other side, and then you don't have to have restless leg syndrome.
mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. an extreme example, but effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm writing an article on restless leg syndrome right now. And
we know.
Yes. Ah. And it's fun. You know, I'll be able to put some of this in and, you know, slowly, bits and pieces about, well, the drugs that they're giving you for it are actually can cause those symptoms. So then you take more and more and more. And if you would relax and take some magnesium.
but now let's just go right with that. You do understand you can take a small bit of arsenic every day
mm-hmm.
and build up a tolerance so no one could poison you with arsenic.
Right.
Same thing. You build up enough drawing it to you till it becomes absent from your experience. That's exactly what we were talking about when we were saying if you start introducing it to such a degree, you get such a high tolerance to it that it won't kill you.
Yeah, I still don't know how to describe that or exactly what you're saying there, because who wants to have an OD on arsenic anyway?
Well, not just arsenic. No.
I know, but who wants? Tell me the reasoning behind this statement, which is true. But
the original example was the queen was fearful of losing the monarchy, well, specifically her physicalness, because of threats on her life.
Yeah.
So to compensate for that fear,
mm-hmm.
she used arsenic for her to brush her teeth, which is a very efficient whitening agent, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you build up it's very small doses over time. Arsenic never leaves the body.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, you build up a tolerance to it.
Mm-hmm.
So much so to the point that if someone were to poison you with it,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't be a concentrated amount enough to cause you to forfeit your life, because your body had such a tolerance it had built up regarding it that it didn't do the trick.
Yeah, I know all that. So how does that relate to anything else?
Well, okay. You have someone with this imbalanced in their mind, and they go to their doctor, and their doctor gives them Xanax.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, an anti, I don't know if that's an antidepressant or a stimulant.
Oh, no, Xanax, that's the stomach one. You mean Prozac or something
no,
like
no,
that.
No. We didn't say Zantac. We said Xanax, X-A-N-A-X.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Xanax. X-Nax.
Okay, got it.
Xanax is an antidepressant, okay?
Correct.
So the side effect of that is...
it's an anti-anxiety, but that's...
Anti-anxiety, very good,
right.
And if you have an anti-anxiety and you're subject or prone to bouts of depression, it also comes into that same... It works on the same nerve center of the brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you start on that process and you figure... that you're tired of living and you're done and you're going to kill yourself, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then if you come to that place of being very anxious and panic attacks, and but that's not a drug you pop. That's a drug that you sort of take,
mm-hmm.
you know, on a consistent level to feel it. The albuterol, some of those as well, makes a new play. You know, it builds
okay,
up.
You don't have to go there. I need to... focus on what you're trying to say here.
Oh, okay, sorry.
If you start on that process and you're tired of living, you decide to kill yourself, okay?
And you start taking 25 of Xanax every day and you build up to 75 or whatever milligrams it would
yeah.
be.
Mm-hmm.
Then you build up a great resistance to Xanax because they have to keep increasing the dose to have the same effect.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if the black day comes and it's over
yeah. mm-hmm.
and you want to take 100 Xanax, to take your life,
mm-hmm.
you can take the 100 Xanax, and you already have such a resistance or tolerance or embracing of that drug in your system
mm-hmm.
that the 100 Xanax won't do the trick.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Many of those patients will hold back and keep 100 extra, but if there's ever a place they can't take it, they just swallow the pills and go away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but the day comes, they swallow it, but then they don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
They just have a nice rest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the point of all that is?
How you embrace your tolerances guide its effectiveness of what you're trying to solve the solution of the disconnection regarding.
That didn't make any sense at all.
I understand.
The point is how you embrace your tolerances guide the effectiveness of the disconnection you're trying to solve?
Yes. But why do you want to kill yourself? Because you got a problem.
Uh-huh.
Well, what's the problem? Well, I'm hooked on Xanax. No, that's a symptom. Okay, but I'm taking the Xanax to help the symptoms so I can live and survive.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm tired of living, and I have such a tolerance built up to the Xanax already established in my system.
Uh-huh.
What I choose to take my life with no longer is effective.
All right.
The symptom outgrows the disconnection. Otherwise, it would be enough, and you would expire.
It still doesn't mean anything to me.
For you, yes.
I'm tired of living, and I have such a tolerance to Xanax, and what I choose to kill myself with doesn't work, and the symptom outgrows the disconnection.
Yes, the symptom takes on a bigger life. Now you don't even have power enough to take your own life. The symptom solver, Xanax, takes such a hold because you empower it that it now completely takes your power away.
All right.
Completely takes your power away to the last stand of I want to kill myself and I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have power to take my own life.
Mm-hmm.
Now your symptom solver has become your new problem.
Mm-hmm.
Your symptom solver or symptom solution, which was supposed to be the solution, now becomes the new problem. And here's how you notice that. That's when they come in, they start, the baby stars. It's why nobody else, everybody has this experience many times, but nobody cares. But the stars are either just coming out of rehab or on their way to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they're in the mind's eye, or the TV body has to keep every degree of flatulence ready for filming mm-hmm. and news at 11.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is they have the same process. They go to the doctor with whatever problem. The doctor says, oh, well, this is easy. We'll take this, and that'll soothe that until you get better.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of getting better, the disconnection that they had to start with, which caused the doctor to make that decision or prescription, then becomes the root, the new root of the disconnection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the problem was a back trouble. Pull the muscle in my back.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So an opiate seemed to be the path of least resistance to ease that. You do understand that there is no addiction of opiates if you're taking enough to cover the pain?
Yes, yeah.
It's only when you take more than is required mm-hmm. to cover the pain that an addiction is stirred and created within your metabolism?
Yes, I know that, yeah.
So now it's not the amount of Demerol, it's the how much Demerol does it take to cover the pain, and then a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the little bit more is what builds up a tolerance to the point that you can't just cold turkey. You got to be weaned off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Your body has now made that solution the problem.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we've been trying to say all the way around the world, but we had to go at it from the standpoint of taking your power back. And the Xanax suicide story, or the arsenic story, or strychnine story, those were the best ones to bring it, to make it bigger than life.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't say, oh, well, that's just taking one too many aspirin.
Yeah, I guess it's just what I'm kind of rebelling against is it's always telling people, implying that everybody who takes Xanax wants to go on and take their life.
No,
with the
no.
Xanax.
Yeah. No, we could do 10,000. How many are there? Oh, my Wellbutrin. Oh, my God.
No, even just going to the place of saying your body tolerates it so much, you'll never be able to kill yourself with it. Well, you know, why even talk? Why even say
because,
that?
Because the Xanax then replaces what you thought was the cause or the reason you wanted the Xanax. And it doesn't have to be Xanax. It could be Prilosec.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be Xanax.
Well, I probably just, and I don't want to say, so you can't kill yourself with these drugs now.
No, that's, well.
I'd rather just say what you're saying, which is, the drug itself becomes the new problem.
That is correct, but many times, what we're standing in the gate for is if you make the choice, you take your own life.
Mm-hmm.
It should be your choice, and you should be able to take your power to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And anything that robs you of your ability or power to make their own decisions for your own beingness
mm-hmm.
will finally get in your way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the softer way to say it. Anything that eliminates your power
mm-hmm.
will finally get in your way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Politicians have that every day. Movie stars have that every day. Fame and fortune hunters find that every day.
Find what?
Find that the thing that they're trying to bring into their experience, if it takes more of their power away from them,
uh-huh.
it gets finally, whatever that was that takes their power away,
mm-hmm.
finally gets in their way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It gets in their way. The thing that they're drawing to them, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
if it eliminates your power
mm-hmm.
or diminishes your power in any way, that thing will finally get in your way.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's even softer.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay. And I know Ion's philosophy about death and all that, but I guess I just didn't want the book to to give people lessons on how to commit suicide.
Correct. Because you know why? Because that would be giving them their power back. So we have an issue there.
Mm-hmm.
If they had the ability and had their power to make that choice on their own, then they could choose not to. That's the reason to live.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you're teaching them how to make methamphetamines in their bathtub.
Right.
But if they want to do that, they're going to do that anyway. The point is, if you take your power back and you come into your knowing of who you are, then that would not, certainly not be the path, the fastest path to your joy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you would eliminate that possibility. So you could have 10,000 Xanax or pick your poison and not do a thing with them.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of basically let it be.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be. You is, but you choose to let it be.
You is, but you choose to let it be.
Yes, it's not to be or not to be. It's to is or not to is.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is or not to is the question. But you decide to let it be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. Ising and being is different.
Mm-hmm.
Ising is definitive. Being is subjective.
Definitive?
Yes, is.
Do you mean objective?
No, I mean it is. There's no if clause in is. Is mm-hmm. is.
Mm-hmm.
Be is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to be an object to be.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have an object to be.
Mm-hmm.
You be on time.
Mm-hmm.
That means you should be on time. It's subjective of you making notice of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he is on time.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
Yeah. Okay.
And they don't come much easier than that. We normally like to make them more.
Yeah, that I got. Okay, very good.
Helpful for those that are having those disconnections and challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not trying to help anybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care.
Right.
But this work is to allow another way available for a solution as they are going to look for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It just as soon, just as easy, better to put them on the right reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And sure, anyway, remember we're fully established that all analogies suck, but they may not suck for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody may pick this work up, and you ought to get that. Well, you are getting it because it's taped. But you come into a place, somebody's going to be wrong down life's road and find themselves undone, unconnected, disempowered. Isn't that like a disembowelment or something?
Mm-hmm.
But disempowered and realize that if they do this, and this, they can take their own life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this non-physical entity, all that was trying to do was to give that disconnected person their power back. And once they have their power back, guess what? Then everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the deliciousness of this life that they chose to come forth, why do they fight for their life
mm-hmm.
if they want to take it?
Mm-hmm.
The reason that they want to take it is because they've lost their ability to control it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they've lost their ability to control it, it certainly is better to go to a non-contrasting, non-creative experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not creating anything but a damn mess anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting that only those that would suffer from those creative thoughts are the ones who are trying to get back to their place of power anyway.
Uh-huh.
That's
mm-hmm.
all it is.
Mm-hmm.
How many suicide attempts are unsuccessful?
Most of them.
Well, imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Damn, I really am in a bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are, sir. You want to kill yourself. No. I'm in a bad shape. I don't want to live anymore, and I don't even have the ability to take my own life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's powerless.
Uh-huh, right. Mm-hmm.
But if you fully understood of how to do it and what to do in the whole process, then you could choose, okay, great, but I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Pewee! Okay. Where do you want to go next?
The fastest path to your joy.
Okay. Let me see where we are in the medical with Ion book. We're probably at osteoporosis.
Holy bones. Okay. Your bone marrow, which is a very marvelous part of your structure.
Mm-hmm.
The 206 bones, some have 207, by the way.
Ah.
But the 206 bones in the body are generators.
Ah. Nice.
Because those bones aren't all connected.
Mm-hmm.
We say, but you go, what do you mean?
Well, the knee bone is connected to the thigh bone. And
oh,
all.
Yes, but the tarsals, you start breaking up the tarsals and they're not connected. They're just in space.
Okay.
Wrapped around flesh and muscle and cartilage.
Uh-huh. But they're piezoelectrically connected.
Well, so is all of non-physical, but you don't seem to like to eat together very often, do you?
Right.
Okay. In this what is a super, this superstructure is the layered part that protects the hardness. Well, it doesn't protect the hardness. The hardness of this skeletal structure.
Yeah.
Its purpose is the creation through the marrow of the blood cells.
Yes, yeah.
It's how it's created.
Mm-hmm.
And balances the hardness of the softness of life. You didn't understand that at all, and we'll develop it, but
okay.
Get it down, because that's where we're going.
But did we skip over something when you said the body is generators because these bones are all connected, and then we had that little tussle about the tarsals and the piezoelectric force. Are you going to get back to that?
No, that's good enough. It's you have a skeleton. The skeleton is what holds the meat sac.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In its position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that skeletal position is for no other reason than to give you a foundation for the meat sac.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a larger purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, if you remove any one of those, then you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an amputation and still the bone thrive and prosper.
Mm-hmm.
What they put back sometimes might be better than what you had.
Mm-hmm.
Without being too cheeky.
But you're just saying if you remove any one of those, you're lost, and then you're saying the opposite?
No, we're saying that if it were that the skeletal system was what the marrow in the skeletal system is what it took the whole body to maintain a meat sack.
Yeah.
Then if you removed any bone of the body, you wouldn't be incomplete to such a degree that the system would fail.
You would not be incomplete.
Would you what, dear?
You would not be incomplete.
That's correct, because people sometimes have a leg amputated and they're still alive and functioning.
Yeah, no, I just, when you said if you remove any of those, you're lost.
You would be lost if it was such a systemic system that you had to have all the bones in order to sustain the meat sack
okay.
of your skeletal system.
Okay, so.
But it is very difficult to remove both legs and then stand on your own 2 feet.
Right. No, I'm just, taking you literally, and you're making.
We're being literal.
Yeah, but if you remove all those, you're lost, is what you said, and now you're saying the opposite, that you're not lost.
Well, if you have no bones.
Oh, don't go.
Oh, sorry.
Just answer the question. Are you lost if you remove anything?
No.
Okay, so you're not lost.
No. But if you take the what the bones are for, the marrow, the holding of the marrow to create those blood cells, you really require all of your bones to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be implying that if you take off a femur, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not the case, but it is important.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. But if you take, we had to say it both ways, because then somebody'd say, oh, well, this non-physical being, Ion, said that we don't have to have our bones to get by, so
exactly.
They donate all their bones to science,
yeah, yeah.
And then they're in this little puddle of jelly, and they're not speaking well because they don't have a jawbone anymore, and they're in a big mess and in a big trouble because it is important.
Right. It's important, but not absolutely necessary, because you can live without them. Okay, good.
Yeah. So that's why we had to go both ends, because you had to be clear, because these people embrace things and they create all kinds of crazy memes.
And that's what I'm trying to focus you on.
Right.
Is when you say, if you remove any of those, you're lost, and then you say the opposite, and then if I don't get it clear, then I can't get it clear for you.
Indeed, that's right. Okay.
Now, okay.
That's not the most important part. What's important is when the bone function is compromised.
Okay.
And that's what we're talking about. It's called osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
Typically happens or starts to affect aging postmenopausal women that have come into a place where they no longer, we would say, embrace natural calciums in their diet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's because of their loss of their, we would call it estrogen, but it's much more than that. The changing of their life sometimes cuts off the parts of their system that embraces the natural calciums.
Well,
to make for strong bones.
And I don't agree with that at all, because it's not just calcium. But go ahead.
No, proceed. We're just trying to get it to a place where even people, somebody might read about it, don't even know what that is. You see.
Right.
So that's that beginning place. But what ends up happening is, the bones become holy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They literally deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a problem, except they get thin and shallow and breakable.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite is true with new babies. Their bones are so malleable, they can bend.
Mm-hmm.
You can drop a baby and they'll bounce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't break. The longer those bones are in your system, they can have a tendency, if the marrow is strong and the levels are good, then what they show up with calcium issues, because that's one of the big proponents of what the makeup of the bone is. But we didn't say that calcium was the cause, or lack of calcium was the cause of osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying is when the marrow loses its ability to grasp all of the nutrients that are the building blocks for healthy bone skeletal system, then you won't be worried about your calcium supplement.
Right. Whether the mirror is for a healthy... Okay, so,
the disconnection is I'm feeble.
Okay.
And then your bones catch up to feebleness. Well, I can't do what I used to do. Well, I'm not as strong as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that begins a path that the individual embraces.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have strong, wiry little old women that have a reason to live, and they can outwork a 212-pound man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the way around.
Yeah.
In their long skirt, work all day, and then come home and cook supper.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Okay.
And they're plugged in, and they don't have that problem. They don't break hips. People have this big thing with hips, which falls really close into this osteoporosis thing, but it really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
When you break a hip, you typically have something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
Hip is one of the strongest bones in the body.
Mm-hmm.
You can displace them and have babies, and they're okay.
Right.
For Pete's sake. everything that you use every day, it's the thickest bone in your body, and yet it becomes a place to shatter or to break. That's typically, you'll find when that is the case, and that is your symptom, is a broken hip, that's not the problem. There's another problem. So that falls right in that osteoporosis process. And now it's interesting.
Typically, when that is the case, and that is your symptom, a broken hip, is what?
Is not your problem. There's another symptom. The broken hip is like your osteoporosis.
Yeah. Well, are you
but
saying
you don't shatter a hip?
No, I'm getting confused here.
I know.
Are you saying a broken hip is caused by osteoporosis?
No, that's why we're saying that.
Well, what is it caused by?
Something else.
Like?
Well, any other disconnection or any other malady that hasn't presented itself yet.
Like?
Stroke, dementia. Pick something.
Well, the stroke, unless you have a stroke and fall down and crash your hip. But
falling down doesn't necessarily crash your hip.
Right, yeah. So
that's our point. You can have a fall. You can have a fall and not shatter a hip.
Right.
But you could also have a disconnection and not fall and shatter a hip.
Yeah, okay.
You can sit down on a commode hard and shatter a hip.
Mm-hmm.
And osteoporosis could be one of those maladies, but not necessarily. And that biggest bone, even in the smaller framed women as they're aging, that's why they call this in the brittleness. Brittleness is interesting. The bones get brittle. Well, what happens when something gets brittle? If it's not malleable, instead of giving, it snaps. How many little women, little old women, are what they call set in their ways?
Yeah.
They're upright and stodgy. They're not giving. My way or the highway. I've lived 95 years, and by God, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I don't care what anybody else says or thinks about it. Enough. Well, that stiffness or brittleness is very easy to fracture.
Right.
Boy, I didn't know how we were going to get there, get you back from there, but maybe.
Well, no, you know, I'm back just a certain little bit. There's still a lot of problems I have with this. First of all, as I understand it, most people who do break a hip, they'll have the x-rays and be told that their hips are thin. So
but they're still the largest bone in their body.
But the thinness of the osteoporosis is given as a reason for their fracture.
But the thinness is the brittleness of the bone structure itself. And healthy marrow will embrace the building blocks of building bones. It's why a broken bone can heal. That's why they set a bone. They don't fix a bone. They set it. And the bone naturally fuses back. And if you have healthy marrow, even if you had osteoporosis, you could still heal a broken bone. But imbalances that are caused from that disconnection can be a symptomatic reason why you have breaking, fracturing bones.
Okay.
Because the osteoporosis isn't the problem. It's if you had osteoporosis and never broke anything and never had any trouble, how would you know you had osteoporosis?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, now they do bone density.
Oh, yeah, and they just give people that.
So they tell you that you're two steps from the grave,
yeah,
so
exactly.
You better really start packing. That's what we're trying. That's why we're going around the mountain to get you there. But if we started off with that, it would be a little too glib for the.
No, I would have gotten that right away instead of all this stuff.
We had to have it. We must love the drama of it all.
I think the drama is what you love. Okay, and then just about the calciums, because what we know from magnesium is that when there's too much calcium is when there's a brittleness, because it's the magnesium that sort of gives the flexibility.
The overproduction of the holding of the calcium. Your body accepts and gets rid of calcium.
Yeah.
Absorbs or doesn't.
Yeah.
The part that causes you to absorb the calcium, just as every conversation is two conversations, if you absorb too much,
right,
then it builds up and you have the same layered brittleness factor.
Yeah, yeah.
You see? And it also has an effect on the marrow's production of those cells that make them all healthy.
What has an effect on the marrow that makes
the
bone healthy?
The extra calcium that makes the bones thicker.
And how does it affect the marrow?
It cuts off those connections that allow the marrow to grow or produce those cellular, those basic cellular functions of blood, red blood cell, and white blood cell production.
Right, right. Okay, that's nice.
So you got both ends of the same slide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think a lot. I mean, I certainly don't think about the bone marrow when I think about bone production.
Right, but that's what it's all about.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, well, how would it be come up in conversation?
I don't know what that sentence means.
Well, otherwise. Okay. Otherwise, if we didn't bring up osteoporosis, and it really had nothing to do with the marrow, if it was only about the bones and keeping you propped up, then how would it ever come up that they would name it osteoporosis? You know, it would just be a condition of life.
Mm-hmm.
As you get old, your bones get brittle. Well, that's not true.
Uh-huh.
But that becomes, you know, you've lived a good life, it's time to go.
Yeah, you're somehow this morning, Ion, you're really doing a lot of analogies and not speaking straight or doing the, you know, you're just really not helping me here.
Okay, well then let's move on to another one. Maybe that's enough of that topic then.
Okay. Yeah, because when you, I didn't even get the sense when I don't think about the marrow when thinking about bone production, and then you said, well, otherwise, how would you ever know that blah, blah, blah? So it's just
that there was such a thing as osteoporosis and that you suffered from it.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
You know, do you see what I'm trying to get at? I'm trying to smooth our interaction here, where I think it happens often when you ask me back a question that then goes off on a really different tangent that I don't think has anything to do with the topic, but it makes sense to you, and it probably makes sense. But, you know, when you ask me a question back that's kind of a glib question about, well, you know, how else will you know that the moon is yellow? And then that distracts me off onto a whole weird cycle of pain.
Okay.
Anyway.
Then proceed.
Okay. The next one I have is parasites.
What kind?
Well,
is that a question that's bad?
No, that's okay, but please don't take it personally. I'm just trying to be clear. But parasites, those are the ones like Entamoeba histolyticum and Giardia, and even to the point of tapeworms.
And all kinds of
Well, those are funguses more. It would be more like Entamoeba, Giardia, and tapeworms.
Okay. And your position is that those are bad?
Yeah, for some people, they're in the body and they're eating all your nutrients and your food and making you lose weight or have all kinds of bowel issues.
Yes. Any overproduction, you have these in your system naturally.
Yeah.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
It's the building blocks of your live cultured yogurts.
Uh-huh.
Well, those are important for you to be able to digest.
Well, most people would consider that Entamoeba histolyticum and Giardia and tapeworms are not a good probiotic that's part of system.
Yeah, exactly. We're not suggesting that you get a prescription that'll give you a tapeworm, but the same things that'll cause a tapeworm to grow in anyone is always found in the same things that everyone is eating anyway.
Okay.
And some develop, embrace these parasitical introductions, and rather than eliminating them or keeping them in a balanced place where it's not a tapeworm, then they grow this insiding and become a incubator for these parasites to come into something else, which has a negative effect in their system. So we don't have a problem with the parasite. We have a problem with the disconnection that embraces it and protects it to the point that it will that the symbiote destroys the host.
Yes, so that's, I mean, and that's what this work is about, is sort of finding the possible misconnections and disconnections. So what would that be in parasites?
Parasites is, well, you didn't like those others, so you may not like this one, but we will try. In a human genome, like a physical that has a soul, some are ones that pick up strays. You know, that every stray cat in the neighborhood ends up at their house, and then they end up with 4,000 dogs and 2,700 cats.
Yeah.
Okay. What makes that one? I can't ask that question. Some people are drawn to that place of saving everything.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, they're trying to protect everything. They want to protect the trees. They want to protect the asphalt. They want to protect the historical of society. They want to protect their family. They want to protect everything.
Right.
Well, in that holding on to everything, will parasites pick up on that same as the stray dog does in the neighborhood?
Wow. Nice.
So the disconnection is just that.
Mm-hmm.
So if that were the case, there are different. You've got to deal with the reason why it's so important to make it your personal job to save everything. Otherwise, they can give you pesticides, kill the amoebas that will kill the tapeworm, okay? They'll give you worm medicine that'll kill the worms, but that won't help you because the same reason that you got the worms to start with is why you will draw them again.
Wow. Yeah, perfect. See how easy that was? That was brilliant.
Well, we're tickled too, because that's not always the case. So.
Yeah, that's not always the case. Actually, you know, I didn't even get to yell at you too much about the magnesium in osteoporosis, but I think you accepted what I said about it being necessary as well as calcium.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It is indeed, yes.
Okay. I think I might have to, we've actually been just a little over an hour. I think I'll have to stop now, Ion, because I have to get ready for this person.
Very good. What's our next one on the agenda?
Yeah, let me see. Oops. Now we're getting down to that. Phlebitis.
Oh, fabulous. That is a good one to, that's a good one to begin with, next round.
Okay.
Very good. And if you'd like, when you're done, if you're not too tired and you want to play this evening, we are always ready.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
Very, very good. And we are then complete.
Thank you.